This morning I want to talk about not being far from the kingdom of God. A very interesting statement that Jesus made to that scribe that day so many years ago. It's a statement that's the statement I want to focus in on. As I read that, and I have to be honest with you, that in the past I've read that statement and just jumped right over it, not giving it much time at all, not giving too much thought to it. But this morning, I want to give it some more time. Have you ever wondered what he meant by that statement? You're not far from the kingdom of God? Well, I think spiritual lessons can be found anywhere. 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 And just to prove that point, I'm going to give you one this morning. As you all know, or maybe you don't know, the county fair is going on just next door. It's right there. I mean, we're close. It's close by. And if you go out there and the wind is just right, you can smell what they're cooking over there. And even though it's all mingled together, you know, it still smells good to me. And it's, I told Carol one of the first day of the fair, "Oh, can you just smell that? Let's go get something to eat." Well, the fair is close by. It's going on. And if you went out there and looked, you could see it. Last night when they had the concert on, you could hear it. It's quite a spectacle. And at night with the fireworks and the lights, the neon lights flashing and going, it's right there. We're not far from the county fair. Literally. The county fair is at hand. So I want to take this a little bit further, if you'll bear with me a moment, because I think there's a good application to this. Because the county fair is at hand, we can go there. We could go to the county fair. Every one of us are eligible to go to the county fair. It's right there. But if I could throw in some church words, you know, church words don't always get in play in everyday conversation, especially when you're talking about going to the fair. But, you know, if you wanted to go to the fair today, you'd have to repent. Now, what? He's gone crazy. What's he talking about? You'd have to repent. In the technical sense of the term, you'd have to stop doing what you're doing and go towards the fair. All the other options you have for this afternoon, you'd have to dismiss them and go set your face to go to the fair. You'd have to repent. But we don't ever say that kind of thing because it's like, oh, too churchy. But you'd have to repent to go to the fair. You'd need to set a priority of being at the fair because at 1 o'clock, I believe, there's an Angel baseball game on. Now, which do I choose, the fair or the ball game? Which do I choose, the potluck today or the fair? You see, if you're going to go to the fair, because it's in hand, you're going to have to set a priority. You're going to have to drop everything else. No double-mindedness about this. You're going to have to make that a priority and head toward it. Go toward it. I was thinking about meeting a guy over here on Arrow Highway headed east and said, "Hey, where are you going?" "I'm going to the fair." And he's headed in the wrong direction. He's got a set priority. He is determined he's going to go to the fair, but he's headed in the wrong direction. And he can walk for a long time. He'll not get to the fair unless he turns around and comes towards the fairgrounds. It's going to take effort, you see, because you have to go in the right direction. Yeah, I can say I'm going to the fair. I love the fair. I want to see the fair. But if I'm not going that way, it doesn't matter what I say. You see, the fair isn't as important as the kingdom, but I think there's some principles that apply. We can't see the kingdom, we can see the fair. I think the kingdom is more real than the fair is. Yeah. I do. And we can head towards the kingdom or we can head away from the kingdom. So I think these principles do apply. If we look at Mark chapter 12, verse 32 especially, that scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, because there is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." This scribe came to a place where he said, "Jesus, you know what you said is the truth. Come to think of it. If I love God with all my strength and all my soul and all my life, and I love my neighbor as myself, well, you know, that'll do more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Yeah, I can see how that works," the scribe is saying. And Jesus says to the scribe there in verse 34, "You know, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from the kingdom." The scribe, I think, in that interchange with Jesus, had an enlightened moment. I don't know if that's ever happened to you or not, where you're reading the Bible and or something happens and you remember what Scriptures say, and all of a sudden the whole thing fits together and it's like, "Whoa, I see, I understand now." That's what the scribe was doing. It's like being outside here, and the breeze brings the aroma of the fair to your nose, and you go, "Oh, the fair." Yes. That's the kind of a moment the scribe was having. He had an enlightened moment. The light of God's truth shone into his dark life, and he said, "I see something here." And Jesus said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom. You're not far from the kingdom." So I was intrigued by that statement, because this man could see the two major priorities in life: to love God with everything that we have and be of service to others. Those are the two greatest things. This man was getting a glimpse of it. He was able to see the kingdom. Maybe he was able to smell it or hear it or sense it somehow. You remember that movie, The Matrix? That's one of my... I like that movie. It's not one of my favorites, but I really like it. Maybe it is one of my favorites. I don't know. But the first one that they did, there's a line in that movie that applies to this. Now we got the fair, we got the movies. In the sermon this morning, we'll see what else we can get later on. But in the movie, towards the end, Neo's kind of getting the idea that he might be the guy. And Morpheus, the big black leader, says to him, he looks right at him, and he says, "Neo, you know, there is a difference between knowing the path and taking the path." And that line hit me. It's like, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. You're close to the path, but you gotta take it. Because just being close to it doesn't mean a thing. Mark chapter 10. Flip back to Mark chapter 10. We were there some time ago, but I just want to review this. A couple of things in Mark chapter 10. Remember, in Mark chapter 10, there was a rich young ruler. A rich young ruler. And this rich young ruler, I think, was very close to the kingdom of God. Very close indeed. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. He came to Jesus, he asked him, what good things shall I do to have eternal life? And he said, well, what's the commandments? I've done all of that. And Jesus said to him in verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. You've got one square to go. Just one more step. That's it. You know how close you are? It's right there. When Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, this is the kind of thing he was talking about. It's right there. Can't you smell it? You only lack one thing, Jesus said to this rich young man. Here it is. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. That's it. You know how close you are? How close can you be and miss it? How close can you actually get to it and let it go? Because something else distracts you. Something else takes your attention away. How close can we get and miss it? It wasn't just that this young man had great possessions. No, let's not even go there. The thing was, he couldn't let them go. Those things were more important than getting on the path to the kingdom. How close can we be and miss it? Apparently pretty close. You look at chapter 10 there, verse 15. Assuredly, Jesus said, I'm telling you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will no way enter it. No. If you don't receive it as a child, if you don't receive it trusting, if you don't receive it with a single-minded, I'll even say simple-minded trust, you're not going to enter. So you can give it all the intellectual assent you want. You can give it all of that debate you want. You can do all of those kind of things. But unless you receive it like a child, Jesus said, you're not going to get in. The door will be shut to you. Sad state of affairs. In verse 23 of Mark chapter 10, Jesus asked the question, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? How hard is that? How difficult is it to overcome that thing that you want so bad more than anything else? How hard is it to put that aside and then move on towards the kingdom? How hard is it to set those things aside when we get distracted by what we want? How hard is it to enter into the kingdom? It's hard. It's hard. Hard. Impossible? No. Hard? Yes. Why is it hard? Well, because we're fighting at cross purposes here. Well, there's something God wants and there's something I want. And what I want, God said, leave it. And I don't know if I'm really ready to leave it. I'm close. But close doesn't count. I'm going to turn you over to Luke chapter 16. Just because of what Luke has recorded for us here, Luke 16:16. It's difficult. And to know that it's going to be difficult is a good thing. Because when we know it's difficult, we know we're going to have to put some effort into it. Luke 16:16. Jesus is saying, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it, forcefully entering it, because it takes effort. That big word, effort. It takes effort, determination, and sometimes even suffering. Not great physical bodily suffering, but maybe there's some emotional, mental suffering that goes on because, well, you know, I really like that. I don't want to have to give that up. You're not actually giving up anything. You're taking on something that's far more valuable. Far more valuable. It takes effort to put all of our idols away so that we can serve God only. It takes effort. It's not like going to just happen to you, but somehow, some way you get brainwashed and all of a sudden, hey, I'm a free man. No, it's not going to happen like that. You're the one that's going to have to put in the effort. It takes effort to put self-serving thoughts away. When a self-serving thought comes to mind, to say, no, I refuse that old taskmaster because I have a new Lord, that's Jesus. I'm not going to follow that anymore. I am free to follow Jesus. You see, it takes effort to do that. It takes effort to put those self-serving words away when I'm trying to make myself look better than everybody else. And I'm trying to put people down because I feel insecure. It takes effort to put that away. To deny my insecurity for the security I have in Jesus Christ. It takes effort to do that. It takes effort to put away those self-serving actions of being stingy and selfish so that I can give and be generous. It takes effort to do that. It doesn't happen automatically. You could climb up on the church building and jump off. You would automatically hit the ground. That happens automatically. If you get tripped and you fall down, you automatically hit the ground. That happens automatically. Becoming like Jesus doesn't happen automatically. It takes effort. No one can do it for you. Other people can show you the path, but you have to take it. It's one thing to know the path, but it's something altogether different to take it, to know the right things. Because we can know all the right doctrines. We can be a great debater. We can silence all those who disagree with us. We can have a good family name. We can have a long church membership. We can be distinguished in our history. But you know, that only brings you near. It only brings you near to the kingdom. Those things don't put you in. There is an element of practice. Doing something. It's effort, determination. What are you focused on? What do you want to do? There's some Old Testament passages I want to look at. Just so we can get a flavor of what God expects. Micah chapter 6, verses 6, 7, and 8. Here this prophet tells us, I think pretty straightforwardly, even though he spoke these words thousands and thousands of years ago, still I think it speaks to us today. Remember that the scribe said to Jesus, you know, if you love God with everything you have and your neighbor as yourself, that's worth more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Worth more than all of them. Keep that in mind. Because Micah chapter 6, verse 6 says, how shall I come before Yahweh? How shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high God? How can I do that? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my disobedience? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You see the question? What kind of a sacrifice can I make? What kind of an offering can I bring? What can I carry with me to enter the presence of God? How shall I come before Him? That's the question. Here's the answer. In verse 8, He has shown you, man. He has shown you what is good and what does Yahweh require, but to do justly, to love kindness, and walk humbly before your God. It's not so much what you bring. How are you? Which way are you going? Are you getting closer to the kingdom or further away? Or are you just staying put? The scribe knew that to love God and neighbor was more than all the burnt offerings. You see, God puts a premium on how we treat other people. He does. Because the way we treat other people gives God an indication of how we want to be treated, and He picks up on that. Look at Psalm 15. If you don't have this psalm highlighted in your Bible, you should. You should. It's a short one. It's only got 5 verses. Makes a good lesson from time to time. Psalm 15. Here David is asking the same sort of question that was asked in Micah. Lord, he said, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who is it that can come and dwell in your tent, O Lord? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Who is it that can not only come near but have full access? Who is that? Well, verse 2 answers the question. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a wicked person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Here's a tough one. He who swears to his own hurt, but does not change. He who makes a vow and will not change his mind, even if it hurts. He who does not put his own money to usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never, never be moved. See, it's one thing to know there's a path, but another thing to walk down it. One thing to know God wants me to be like Jesus, it's another thing to walk down that path and be like Jesus. Two different things altogether. We know the right answer, but how are you living in response to that? And we started this whole 3 sermons by talking about the fact that we can have a professed belief, what we say we believe, but then we have a functional belief, what we do, how we act the way we believe. And when those two don't agree, that's not good at all. We know that God wants us to be like Jesus. Romans 8:29 tells us that. We believe that. Right? Profess to believe that. Functionally, how does your life portray that you actually do believe it? That's the question. Because there are times when we come to that crossroad, that decision time, that point of decision, and that we want to be happy. Not like Jesus. We want to be happy. We want to be satisfied. We want to be coddled. We want to be petted. We want to be liked. I'll be like Jesus some other time. You see, the way we act shows what we believe. And to be loving toward our neighbor, not backbiting, speaking the truth, not upholding, giving honor to those people who are wicked. That's what God expects. To live justly, do kindness, and walk humbly before God. There's another prophet, Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. 9:23. This is what Jehovah says, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might, and don't let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Jehovah, and I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. How are you treating somebody? You know, you can't do these to God. You can't sit in judgment of God. Well, you might try, but it isn't going to work. These things we do toward each other, whether we're just to each other or not, that makes a difference. You see, we can say we love God, but loving our neighbor as ourselves shows that we follow God's way, that we are in God's way, His path. That's what we're walking in. That's what we're living in. Let's go back to the fair illustration just for a moment. You might not be able to go to the fair because of other commitments. You've got other things going on. You can't go. You just can't go. Dennis Schuster was going to come over today and go to the fair with Carol and I for the afternoon. He can't now. Because of the surgery of Danny Jr., the office gal is in Arizona, and Dennis has to go to work and do her work. And he told her, he said, no, you stay there. I'll take care of things. So he's got a commitment. He can't come and go to the fair. We understand that. The fair is not that important. I realize that. I'm not trying to make the fair important. But the thing is, what commitments do you have with the world that will keep you away from the kingdom of God? What desires do you have in the world that will keep you away from the kingdom of God? Is there something in your life more important, like it was for the rich young ruler, it'll get you one step away, which is one step too far away. Is there something more important than the kingdom? It could be fear. Could be afraid to follow Jesus in service to other people because I don't want to be taken advantage of. People will just use me. People will abuse me. People will misunderstand. Yeah, and so? Show me in the Bible where it says that's an excuse to quit. That might be another thing for homework. Show me in the Bible where it says that if you get abused, you get a pass to not be like Jesus anymore. Show it to me. I'd like to see that. And I can show you a couple that says that even though you do suffer for doing what's right, you keep taking it patiently. That's what pleases God. It could be pride. Could be pride that would keep you away from the kingdom because you look down on other people. I'm not as bad as they are. At least I don't do what they do. Or could be not wanting to look foolish and so you don't talk about Jesus. Because, you know, that's not the manly thing. That's not the polite thing to talk about. So we don't want to look foolish because of our pride. It could be the flesh not wanting to let Jesus have control of your life. It could be that just keeps you too far away. It could be a lack of faith, not believing that this whole thing is true. Even though there are times when you've had that flash of insight, illumination from heaven, something has opened your understanding so that you could see things a little more clearly. Even though that's happened from time to time, you still don't quite believe it. How we treat one another shows how we love God. How we forgive to tells God how to forgive us. Remember the prayer? Forgive as we forgive others. We bring it on ourselves. As we forgive, God knows how to forgive us. The mercy that we show gives God the cue on how much mercy we want. Bet you never thought of that before. Maybe you have. You set the level of mercy you're going to receive by the mercy you give. Think about it. How just and righteous we are with our neighbors shows how much we love God. It's one thing to know the path. It's another thing altogether to take it. You aren't far from the kingdom. The question is, which way are you going? Which way are you going?